Welcome to Brand Appeal, where we talk about brand storytelling in the digital age. I'm your host, Shannon Peel, and today I talked with Lillian Sue, PR specialist and publicity coach who helps business owners, coaches, consultants, and professionals get the publicity that their brand needs for that important credibility. Now, before we talk to Lillian, I just want to let you know that she is one of our speakers at the Market Appeal Summits. She is speaking in the Standout Summit, How to Stand Out in Today's Digital Marketplace. If you are struggling to get your brand to stand out in the chaos and noise of the digital world, head on over to marketappeal.com, click on Create Appeal, and get a ticket to our event, the Standout Summit, How to Stand Out in Today's Digital World. Listen at the end and I'll let you know more about it. Until then, let's talk with Lillian and find out what she has to say about why you need publicity for your brand. Lillian, thank you so much for joining me here today on Brand Appeal. And I have one question. What is it that you want to be known for?
I want to be known as the PR coach that inspires creative entrepreneurs to gain the confidence to learn how to harness the power of public relations to become the global industry leaders that I know they can be. My goal in life and with my business is to provide that education, that knowledge, that personalized coaching that's going to help them push past those limiting beliefs, understand how public relations works, and have that confidence to get up in front of the camera, behind a mic, and share their stories around the world with their target audiences. Because I really believe that every single entrepreneur, every author, every filmmaker, every creative person out there who has built their own business has a fantastic story that deserves to be told to audiences all around the world. They just have to build up the confidence and get the right resources and skills to learn how to harness that.
PR's changed. Media's changed. There's no doubt about it. Like, newspapers don't have the clout that they used to have in the real world. You know, now they're online. And how they process news, I mean, news editors are a dying breed. And it's all different. But that doesn't mean publicity isn't as important. Why is publicity so important for a brand?
Well, it comes down to this, Shannon. So many entrepreneurs and brands rely on social media marketing, on their websites, on their email newsletters. And I would never say to them, no, don't do that. Building up an audience that way is a fantastic way to not only build up content to educate their audiences on, hey, this is what we're about. This is what's going on. These are the events we have. This is our products, our services, whatever it is. And on top of that, stuff like your websites and your newsletters are owned media, meaning you own the platform, you own the content. Nobody can just come in and, you know, shut down your account the way they can with social media. So those are all great things. The problem is that the more you do that, eventually the audience you reach and the brand awareness that you think you're putting out there, it's going to plateau. Why is it going to plateau? Because all of that promotion, all of that awareness, all of that content that's being put out there is coming directly from you. That's great. You're the source, but it can only get you so far until somebody says, well, wait a minute. All you're doing is tooting your own horn here. Why should I buy into what it is that you're selling, the story it is that you're telling me? And, you know, what makes you different compared to, you know, your competitor in the same industry, in the same market, who's out there doing the same thing? What's the difference between you guys? You're not telling me that, right? And a publicity campaign is the best way to build that third party credibility and trust, because mm-hmm. what you're doing in this case is, it's not you promoting yourself. What you're doing is you're building relationships with key media outlets out there, whether they are podcasts, whether they are blogs, YouTube series, you know, mainstream TV, radio talk shows, whatever it is. You're building those relationships with them, and you are leveraging those relationships to get in front of their audiences. And that matters because these media platforms, in a lot of cases, have spent months, if not years, cultivating and building their reputations so that their audiences that go to them trust them for their content, for their opinions, and they trust that they've vetted and they believe in anybody they're interviewing on their platforms. So for any entrepreneur who's looking to get out there and to generate more of that trust and credibility, you need to build these key relationships, right? Because then what you're doing is if you're leveraging these relationships and you appear on these platforms, their audiences, your ideal audiences, your ideal dream customers, clients, readers, whoever they are going to be like, oh, they support this author, this entrepreneur, this tech startup. Maybe it's worth me looking into because I know that they support them. And that's really something that is missing from when you're doing your own marketing strategy, you're doing your own social media content. Because while it's great for somebody to get a recommendation from a friend of theirs who has like bought your product and everything, there's always going to be room in the marketplace for that. What you're doing with publicity is elevating that another level and getting more high profile with the referrals and recommendations from the platforms, the shows, the blogs that you trust. I think that even though there's been a very huge shift in the world of PR where mainstream media resources are shrinking, you have less editors, you have less TV producers, their needs are consolidating because they're having to look for stories when they only have half the team that they used to. So it's much tougher to go the mainstream media route. What you can do these days that you couldn't necessarily do 10, 15 years ago is get on a podcast, go on an industry blog, write for the industry newsletters, do a video series on an industry site. So it's, although mainstream has kind of, tightened up and consolidated, industry, genre specific, and indie media is the sector that's really growing that I think more entrepreneurs should take advantage of.
Well, one thing I find as a podcast host, you have people come on your show and then you never hear from them again. Or they do not, like you put out their thing and they don't even like the content saying, hey, listen to this podcast. They come on thinking, okay, I'm going to listen to, people are going to see me. Then they're going to jump over from that podcast to my podcast or jump over from that podcast to go buy from me somewhere. There's this whole piece that they're missing, and that is the most important audience they have is the audience that they already have. And by sharing that and saying, look, I was on that podcast, it gives the their audience a chance to give them kudos. Like, hey, congrats, like love this. Let their audience know that, like you said, there's credibility here, there's authority here. Somebody else thinks that I know what I'm talking about. And it's free content. How much time do you spend creating content? It's a lot easier to say, hey, look, I was in this news article with 14 other professionals that do the same thing I do, but I was one quote, one of these quotes, and here, go read that. Now you're giving your audience something of value because there's 14 quotes, but you're one of those 14. And your credibility is with those other people. And that's important because perception is everything. Now, when you're thinking about PR, I mean publicity, PR, it's like a mystery to some people. They don't understand it. Why is PR one of those things that they think, oh, well, yeah, that's what the big guys do, and that's just, I'd love to be on that show, but I'm never going to be there. Why do you think we don't even go towards PR?
That is a prevailing myth that I've been working really hard the past couple of years to bust every time I get on social media and I talk about myths every time I'm presenting a presentation or doing a workshop in particular. And I think a lot of that comes down to the media that we consume, because most of the time what we see is, you know, the Fortune 500 CEO, the celebrities that are doing the talk show circuits, they're on the front page of magazines, and everybody always says, you know, well, of course they're on there because they can afford to pay a team, you know, $60,000, $100,000 to do this entire spread for them. That's not me. I don't have the budget. I don't have the audience to pull something like that off. And for me, my mission with my business and, you know, how I speak to clients and prospective clients all the time is really about busting that myth that PR is something that everyone can do.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to be spending 20 grand, 100 grand, and you don't need an audience already in the thousands. What you need is a clear vision of the story you want to share, that you're actually comfortable sitting down and having a conversation with someone about, and an idea of what your goals are, right? Because everyone that has a business that's running a brand wants to grow that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to plateau. Nobody wants to stay stagnant. Your objective is always to grow that. But where they get stuck is figuring out how. And what I see a lot, the wheels get stuck in the mud a lot because they're doing all the things. They're buying the online ads. They have a monthly email newsletter. They're doing social media content on a daily basis, or at least a few times a week. And they're sitting there and they're like, why am I not reaching the audience I want to reach? Why am I not getting out there in front of more people? And where there's a disconnect there is, you know, because they're believing that PR is this lofty thing that only works if you have a huge audience or you have a huge budget. They don't even think about incorporating that into their marketing strategy. And they keep spinning their wheels and plateauing with the audience they already have, because, you know, when you have that audience, they want to share your content. They are following you for a reason. They want to engage, but you have to give them more things to engage with.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, right? There's only so many times you can share that, you know, your book is on sale.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many times that the same audience can share that your book is on sale before their audiences completely lose interest.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to give them something different that's not only coming from you, but I don't think people realize how powerful that third party endorsement is when those platforms trust you, when they believe in you, and they believe that your story is compelling enough to want to share with their audiences. So it comes down to people overlook PR because they believe in that myth that you have to have a huge budget, or mm-hmm. you have to have an audience in the thousands. The other part of it is that they get scared of sharing their story because they're like, it's fine doing it on social media or through my email newsletter because I know these people. These are audience members that I speak to on a daily basis, or,
yeah.
you know, we've talked before online and I feel comfortable. So what I try to say to them is PR is really just an extension of that,
mm-hmm.
right? You're not going zero from zero to 60 and going from never having done an interview to all of a sudden landing on Jimmy Fallon, right?
That's right. Yeah.
That's what they think is going to happen. And, you know, one of two things happens. Either they get scared off because of that, or their ego's talking to them, right? And they're like, that's what I want. That's the only result I'm going to accept. And that's how I'm going to make public relations work for me. Well, in the world of PR, just like the rest of marketing, there are no guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
But if you reframe that narrative and look at, okay, if you can sit there and talk to a friend or a fellow entrepreneur about what it is that you do and why you do it, really all PR is you two having that conversation, but maybe it's being recorded for a podcast, right? In that moment, when you're not sitting there in front of thousands of people, it feels much easier to kind of sit there and have a one-on-one conversation with somebody to really get comfortable with these things. That's the other part that I really stress to clients as well. It's not about throwing you into the deep end and having you talk about your story in front of thousands of people or millions of households on TV right away. It's about you finding that particular podcast, that blog, that YouTube show, and just sitting there and having a genuine conversation, a genuine connection with one another about why you do what you do, why you love it, why you're passionate about it. Who is it that you're trying to help? What's the impact you're trying to make, right? And for most entrepreneurs, they know this story. They love this story. They live it every single day. But they freeze up in talking about it because they think it's mandatory that it has to be in front of thousands of people to have an impact. And that's not true. If that's what you want down the road, you can certainly work your way up to that. But the point of publicity is it's much easier to cut your teeth and get comfortable talking on a podcast with somebody that you feel comfortable with, right, to help you iron out all the kinks and all of that, compared to freezing in on stage in a studio audience and not knowing how to answer questions when someone's asking them to you, right? So when it comes down to it, it's really about reframing that mindset and those expectations around PR and publicity that everyone can do it, but what you need is to get clear on the story you want to share, what your goals are, so you can get in front of the right audiences to share that story, and starting slow, you know, giving yourself that time that you need to get comfortable and cut your teeth in terms of talking with a podcast or a blog or a YouTube show and just getting comfortable with it, right? Because the other part that I'm sure they see is, you know, what if they ask a question I can't answer or I don't feel comfortable answering? I get that a lot from prospective clients as a mindset block. And I said, you know, don't forget, it's your story they want to learn about. So you control how much and what parts of that story you want to share. If there's something you don't want to talk about, redirect them on it. It's your story. You're the one who's in control, even though they're the ones asking the questions.
Exactly. And you know, there's podcast hosts. I mean, your story is your story. We're not trying to change your story, or you know, we don't have any expectations. We just want to talk to you, and we want you to have content that's interesting for our audience, because it's important to us that our audience is interested. Now, you can take content from the interviews that you do, or whether it's you do write a blog and you guest blog somewhere, or a journalist quotes you in a blog for a website or association newsletter or podcast or video. You can then break that up and create content for your site. And it's really easy because a lot of times you don't know what to say. But when you're talking with someone, all of a sudden it all comes together and it comes out and it's like, okay, I do know what I'm talking about. I do understand this concept. I get it. And that comes out of you when you are talking about yourself. And the rest of the time, of course, we're going, what am I going to say? No, I'm not interesting. I have nothing to say. Really? Really? You have no conversations with anyone ever because, you know, people just don't find you interesting at all. podcast interview, video interview, an interview with a journalist, it's just a conversation. And that conversation is then can be edited to make it faster and more, you know, to get rid of the what I'm doing right now, which is fumbling. Or you can be used as, hey, I'm going to take the quote from what you said here. I'm going to take a quote from what someone else said. I'm going to take a quote from someone else said. I'm going to make this article with five or six quotes in it from five or six different people. And guess what? Now I'm going to share it with the world. But if it's evergreen, which most content is nowadays, you can then keep sharing that every 6 months or whatever. And if you tag the journalist or the podcaster or the blogger and say, look, I'm sharing it again, they'll be like, okay, I need to have this person back on my show because this person is engaging with myself, with my brand. You know, he's giving me something back because together we created this content. And together we are now showcasing this content. My podcast, the people that engage with me and talk to me or are part of my network, I promote their podcast more often a year later, down the road. I put their podcast into blog posts. I put their podcast into books or my magazines because there's a rapport there. And if there's a rapport there, it comes across in the conversation that we had. And that's why it's so important. And people shouldn't really be stuck. I mean, we all can talk, unless you're my daughter, who would rather text. That's why we have blogs, right?
Yep.
What's your favorite medium that you like to go out and talk to?
I honestly like Instagram a lot because it gives me the option to show up in a wide variety of ways. And I do. I have reels. I do story videos. I do lives on occasion to answer questions. I put up feed posts. And it also allows me to engage with my audience directly. When mm-hmm. they put out comments, when they send me messages to ask questions. And it's a great way to sort of have that reciprocated as well, because I'm always engaging with their content and commenting and asking them things about how they're doing and questions about, you know, is there things that you're stuck on or brainstorming ideas. I mean, being able to have that avenue to set up discovery calls and things like that just on private message is very, very useful. And it also, I think, I mean, I'm on other platforms as well, like LinkedIn and Twitter and everything else, Facebook groups and what have you. I think Instagram allows you to really take advantage of that evergreen content piece, like we were just talking about. There's things that I posted up months ago in terms of quotes that I've pulled up from articles that I've written that people are still engaging with and finding value out of. And it's like, this is why I put that out there, because I want people to continue to find value in what it is that I'm sharing. And I think the other part of it that people don't always pay attention to as well is that your audience grows and changes. You know, who you had following you 6 months ago, you're not just going to have that one person following you, hopefully. You're going to have many more people following you. And what that means is a lot of these new folks don't necessarily know who you are, what you do, why you do it, what inspires you, all of these things. And it just, you know, in answering these questions, you already can have so many content ideas that you can also then take on. You know, there's a lot of coaches and entrepreneurs out there that have their own Instagram live series. Mm-hmm. Even going on one of those and talking to some of those folks about what you do and why you do it and what's important to you in terms of building an entrepreneurial routine and all of those kinds of things. That's another way that you can kind of build up your confidence and your experience with PR and doing interviews. You're exposing your brand to a new audience. Their audiences are getting to know you. Your audiences are getting to know the person who's hosting the show and everything. And on top of that, you're getting content that you can then share on, you know, your feed in your stories, in your email newsletters. So then you don't have to sit there and feel like an empty well about, I've already answered all of these questions. It's like, okay, maybe you've answered these questions once, one way, but the person who saw your video answering that question last week is not going to be the same person who sees your feed post answering that question this week.
That's right.
So I think a lot of it also comes down to developing your own rhythm, your own consistency. Because the other part that I see a lot of with the entrepreneurs that I work with and the ones that I talk to, they're always stuck on how to be consistent, on what actually works for them in terms of scheduling, what actually feels good for them and their brand. And for me, I always say, don't buy into that whole industry jargon where they say you have to be active on there every single day, couple times a day in order to see any real traction. I say to them, what actually works for your brand? What actually works for your mindset, your energy levels? And on top of that, don't be afraid to ask your audiences, hey, what do you guys want to see?
And professionals and small businesses, there's something that you get paid for. That's where you need to spend a lot more of your time. So, do you really need to have your own podcast? Or is it better to go out and guest on other people's? Or find those live shows and have these conversations, or find, the news. I mean, if you're a realtor and get to know the local journalists that write about the local real estate news, and then email them and get to know them, because you just reach out to them, message them, but first, always engage with their content. Make a comment and not just, oh, what a great post. No, show them that you actually read their article. Show them that you're actually really interested in what they have to say. And then you start having that DM. Then guess what happens when they have a story and they need a realtor? Hey, buddy, that's been really nice to me. We're tired of listening to that realtor. We need a new realtor. Because the thing with journalists is they want new stuff. They want new things, new edges, new points of view. But they'll do what, because they're overwhelmed, they will do whatever's easiest. Doesn't mean that you can't break into it. It just means that you have to do a few extra steps in order to become the second person that they go to. And being the second person is fine, because guess what? The first person may not be able to answer that question at that time because they're too busy showing a house. And journalists are looking at deadlines. They're looking at, oh, I have to have this story in by this time. And if you can't be there for that quote, that's because you got to show a house. I got to go to my next person on the list. So you want to be able to get on that list? Make sure that they know who you are. I've gotten asked if tweets could be, a lot of journalists, well, I don't really call them journalists, but a lot of people use copy tweets and make that into a news article on one of the news sites. So, make sure that you have smart, intelligent tweets about whatever it is in your industry, and they'll pick it up and they'll come and they'll ask you, hey, can I use this for my article? Yes. But you have to be there to see the DM or that message that comes up through Twitter or, and go, oh yeah, okay, yes. Because if it's not there when they ask and they don't get the response right away, you've missed their deadline. Journalists are on Twitter. I'm not sure what's going to happen now with Elon Musk being there, but that's where they were. Where are they going? Are they staying on Twitter or are they going to go somewhere else? What do you think?
I think that there's still validity to being on that platform, in part because a lot of news is still being funneled through that platform. I mean, I've seen a lot of more of the creative entrepreneurs, so more of the authors, the guys that focus on like comic book side of things that have podcasts. A lot of those guys have also created accounts on Mastodon and on Hive and places like that. But when I reach out to my network of entrepreneurs and of people who own businesses that focus on things like website development, social media strategy, and everything, they're all staying put with the platforms that they're currently working with because that's where their audience is. And that's always been my standpoint on all of it is when something like that is new and shiny, yes, there is a desire to go check it out. You want to see if it'll work for you and everything. But for most of us, we don't run businesses with teams of 50 to 75 people who can manage all of these platforms for
That's
us.
right.
Therefore, we have to be strategic with our time and energy on where am I actually going to spend my time? Where am I actually going to put my content that's going to be seen by the people that I want to see it? So at the end of the day, if you can't be at least 85% certain, hey, is my audience even going to be on this platform? What is the point of signing up for that and spreading yourself so incredibly thin to do something that you didn't actually get into business to do? Because for most brands and most entrepreneurs, they're not running a social media marketing business.
Or they're trying
They
to be influencers. They're just trying to sell their the ball that they made, right? The gadget. They're trying to solve the problem that their businesses they're designed to solve. They're not trying to be an influencer on that. I mean, yes, they got to get out in front of the brand. They got to say something so that, if somebody has that problem, they can find them. But you're right. It's about building enough credibility for your brand, but not letting it overwhelm you. Because it is overwhelming as somebody who is building a huge brand to build a huge empire. And I'm not taking the strategic route. But when you take the strategic route, you get more faster than when you're trying to, be everywhere and be everything to everyone. Because niching is so important. When you were talking earlier about industry publications and industry associational newsletters and that kind of stuff, for a business that has a ball or a gadget or a gadget, when they're looking to niche down and they know that this is their niche and this is what their person looks like, how can they find out where that person is?
Some of it comes down to doing some market research. Hashtags are still a thing on Instagram and on Twitter for you to kind of look at who's talking about what subjects or talking about which brands and what companies. The other part of it comes down to your goals, right? What are you looking to do? You're looking to utilize publicity. It's really helpful to look at what your goals are when it comes to things like sales, business development, thought leadership. When I mentioned industry blogs and newsletters, that's a fantastic way to kind of build up your reputation within the industry. I mean, there's the larger ones. Everybody knows Forbes, everybody knows Inc., everybody knows Entrepreneur. But there's also, every industry has different associations. There's different chapter associations, there's national associations. You can write for them. You can get interviewed on their newsletter. You can really build up your reputation as kind of the go-to thought leader on a particular subject so that when you're going out there and say you want to gain more speaking opportunities, like what we were just talking about earlier, you can then position yourself as that go-to expert who knows XYZ really well. Therefore, you would be a great fit for different conferences, different trade shows, and then you start exhibiting at places like that. Maybe you have a table as well to meet the people that actually attend those kinds of events, and your reputation starts to grow. Your credibility with audiences starts to grow. But it also really comes down to what are you looking to do when it comes to sales, business development, thought leadership? Do you want to do more in-person things? Are you looking for more online avenues? Are you looking at building partnerships? What about having a positive effect on the local community? I mean, one way to really get local media excited these days, in spite of their limited resources, is to have an event where you attach your brand to a cause that you love to support. there's always going to be enough resources in the local media to cover something that positively impacts the local community. Your charity fundraisers as part of your brand to really get your name recognition out there.
I just want to talk about that for a minute, because if your charity's cancer or MS or something, I mean, those are not controversial things, but there are controversial movements out there. I'm thinking of the Canadian truckers parking in front of Parliament. It's a very controversial thing, and yet your truck is there with your brand on the door. We had this case in Vancouver where we're with the truckers, and each truck has a brand on it. And unfortunately, it was a realtor, it was a real estate company, and their truck was in the protest thing. And they get this call saying from the media, because hey, the media sees them in this parade supporting the truckers in Ottawa. And the media calls them going, hey, what's going on? And they go, well, what do you mean our truck's in there? It shouldn't be in there. What are you talking about? Because a husband took the keys from the wife and took off down there. And this was just one of the realtors in their office. And then we got Harry with his big controversial book, right? He's really going after that controversy in order to sell the book. Should brands be jumping on the controversy bandwagon?
Honestly, that comes down to who's your audience? Who are you actually looking to sell to? And in today's market, in a lot of ways, things like political affiliations and values will play into that. If that is who your audience is, then that's who you need to get in front of. Because I've worked with brands in situations that have landed themselves in hot water unintentionally. In cases like that, then you have to have a crisis communications plan handy where you have the statements ready to go. You have your internal investigation team ready to go, and you know who to report back to find out what exactly happened. You know how to show the media and your audiences that you are being fully honest and transparent about what went wrong and how you are working to, number one, make amends after you apologize. And number two, make sure it doesn't happen again. So there's two sides to that where for those brands that are leaning more towards the controversy, and if that's where your audience is, then maybe what you should be doing rather than trying to appeal to mainstream audiences is focusing on where your niche audience is. Now, for me, I don't take on controversial clients. That's not my niche as a PR coach and a publicist. But there is a market for brands that do operate within that sphere, and those are the audiences that they should be catering to and getting in front of with their media strategy. For the brands that step in hot water accidentally, then it's about making sure you have a crisis communications plan ready to go so that you know who all of your stakeholders are, what messages you're sending out, and making sure that you are staying transparent, being honest about what happened, and showing that you are taking steps to make sure it doesn't happen again, and keeping the lines of communication open with your audiences on social media, with your audiences in your email newsletters, and if need be, if the company is big enough, releasing media statements to journalists or having a press conference. Understanding that when they're working with either their own in-house PR department or an external PR agency, that it's really about positioning their stories the right way and making sure that the relationship on both sides between the media and the company, everything goes smoothly.
Lillian, thank you so much for joining me here today on Brand Appeal and letting everyone know why they need PR and publicity. And where can people find you if they want some coaching on that? Because it isn't something that you just jump into with your eyes closed. So how can people find you?
They can absolutely follow me on Instagram at Lillian Sue, copywriter PR, all one word. Or they can go to my website at inretrospectwritingservices.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Absolutely, Shannon. Thanks for having me.
Well, listener, I hope that you learned something new today. I know I did. So if you are interested in learning more about publicity PR and how you can stand out in today's digital marketplace, make sure that you head over to marketappeal.com and get yourself a ticket to the Standout Summit, where Lillian will be presenting about publicity and how to change your mindset to ensure that you are getting the publicity that you deserve. The summit is from January 30th to February 3rd online. And if you can't make it, that's okay, because there is a book. Yes, of course, there is a book, a digital multimedia interactive market appeal published book coming out called How to Stand Out in Today's Digital Marketplace. And it is launching March 20th. So make sure that you drop by marketappeal.com, join the community, and I'll let you know when that book is available for you so that you can learn how to stand out in today's digital market to take your business brand forward. Well, listener, until next time, peel out.